Chapter 1. Hide until everybody goes home. Hide until everybody forgets about you. Hide until everybody dies. Yoko Ono. That girl's got one foot in the grave. Nora Pennington, proprietress of the only bookshop in Miracle Springs, North Carolina, glanced from her friend to the empty chair, where she expected to find the pale-faced slip of a girl who'd hidden in the stacks until past closing time. The girl wasn't there. Recalling the hospital ID bracelet encircling the girl's bony wrist, Nora turned her attention back to her friend. June, did she say anything to you, or to Hester, or Estella? June grunted. Oh, sure, she told the three of us her whole life story. Yes, ma'am, she donated a kidney to the love of her life, and the surgery took place without a hitch. But when the sweethearts woke up, Miss Skinny as a Broom Handle found out that Mr. Wright was Mr. Seriously Wrong. According to a news report, he was an escaped serial killer. No, that wasn't it. June frowned. He ran a cult. Yeah, one of those brainwashing cults with a male leader and lots of female disciples. When our girl found out, she bolted from the hospital when the nurses weren't watching, snatched a house dress from a clothesline, and hopped a train to Miracle Springs. Behind June, a woman issued a throaty chuckle. June Dixon, I believe you could write fiction if you were so inclined, said Estella Sadler in an exaggerated southern drawl. She languidly rose from her chair and jerked a thumb toward the back of the bookstore. Since you're perfectly capable of evicting your bubble wrap refugee, Nora, I'm calling it a night. I don't need beauty sleep, but I'll take it all the same. Sweet dreams, ladies. After Estella sauntered out, Nora turned to Hester Winthrop, the fourth member of the secret Book and Scone Society. Bubble wrap refugee? You'll see, Hester said, picking up her handbag. I need to get going, too. The bread won't knead itself at 5 a.m, and I have to bake extra loaves for our secret kindness bags. June shook her head. I don't know many people who can wake up when the stars are still shining and buzz around all day like a bee on crack. But you do it. With your freckles and energy, you remind me of Pippi Longstocking. Hester shook her head. Estella's the redhead, not me. Estella's not that kind of book character, June said. She's far more cat-like. Who does she remind me of? She looked thoughtful and then slapped her hands together. Shere Khan, the tiger from the Jungle Book. That's Estella's literary double. And what book character are you? Nora asked. Though she wanted to check on the strange girl, she was too intrigued by the conversation to move. June put her hand over her heart. When I worked at the nursing home, one of my favorite patients called me a black Mary Poppins. I'm older, darker, and my hair is way curlier than Mary's, but that's what she called me. Seeing the shock on Hester's face, June burst into laughter. Honey, it was meant as a compliment. That lady knew how much I tried to put a little magic into the residents' lives. Hester gestured in the direction of Nora's small stockroom. I don't think there's been any magic in her life lately. What'll you do about her, Nora? She seems fragile. Nora frowned. She'd moved to Miracle Springs in search of peace and privacy. She hadn't wanted a single responsibility beyond her tiny house and her bookstore. She hadn't wanted pets or close friends. She hadn't wanted a lover. She refused to join a place of worship or participate in charity events. She didn't sponsor children's athletic teams, enter bake-offs, or take sides in local politics. She didn't seek anyone's company. Despite this, people sought hers. They came looking for her. People with different backgrounds, different skin colors, and different accents. People from all over the globe brought her their stories. They all carried a burden they couldn't put down, no matter how much they wanted to be free from its weight. These weary souls came to her, the bookseller known to the locals as the beautiful burned woman, or the bibliotherapist with the scars, in search of relief. Sometimes these people liked Nora, sometimes they didn't, but they all felt at home in Miracle Books. It was almost impossible not to. Walking through the bookshop was like falling in love for the very first time. New customers would enter the store and hesitate, fearing the only offerings would be New Age titles and crystals. This was a reasonable concern in a town built upon the premise of healing, but Miracle Books had something for everyone. They just didn't always know how to find it.